أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه ورزق ربك خير وأبقى. In ayah number 131 of Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an instruction, one for himself and of course one for every member of his ummah, a very important one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْهُمْ. Do not stretch your eye towards what we have given groups amongst them as enjoyment. Don't look at the worldly things that they have and the luxuries that they have and the comfort that they have and you wish to have that. And you are now motivated to live that type of a life and to own what they own and to enjoy what they enjoy. Allah says, don't stretch your eyes towards the material things of the world that they have been given, that we have given them. We have given certain groups amongst them, referring to the non-Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is given to them in this worldly life for them to enjoy and for them to live whatever life they wish to live in this worldly life. So that should not become your standard. Their living, their style, their things should not become a standard for you. Or that should not be the motivating factor behind you having what they have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ. Don't stretch your eyes. Don't look with envy towards what? إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْهُمْ. To what we have given to groups amongst them to enjoy. Allah says, زَهْرَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. It is the adornment of the worldly life. That's what it is. It's just an adornment of the worldly life. It's not essence of life. One is the essence of life. One is the objective of life. One is the true purpose of life. And then everything else around that, that is adornment, that is embellishment, that is zina, it's beauty. So sometimes we are being distracted by the secondary issues. And that's distracting us from objective, the purpose and reality of life. Having it, alhamdulillah, if it is given, we have it, we enjoy it, we make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, but it does not become the purpose of my life and the objective of my life to the point where now everything in my life evolves around that and having that and wanting that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is the adornment of the worldly life. لِنَفْتِنَهُمْ فِي. Why have we given it to them? Why do they enjoy it? Why do they have all the luxuries and comfort? Allah says, we have given it to them to test them with it. They are being tested with these material things. What is Rabbik? Allah says, the provisions of your Rabb and the bounty of your Rabb and the gifts of your Rabb, what Allah has in store for you in Akhirah, khayr, it's much better, incomparable. You can't even compare it to the comforts and luxuries of this world. It is much better, wa abqa, and it is everlasting. These things are temporary. That is everlasting. So rather work towards that and enjoying that in Akhirah. And really, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had absolutely no interest in any comfort of this worldly life. Once Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala who visited him, and he was sleeping on a straw mat. A mat, that was his bed. A mat made with reeds. And when Umar came in, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down and he sat up. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala who realized that the straws or the reeds made marks on his body. And he saw this and he wept and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kings and the emperors of Persia and the Byzantine emperor, the Roman emperor, look at the lives they are living, the comfort in which they are living. You are our leader. You are our leader. Why have you chosen this life of poverty and destitution? Why don't you have something comfortable for you? He says, Oh Umar, Oh Ibn al-Khattab, they have it in this world, while we will have it in Akhirah. I will enjoy it in Akhirah, and they will enjoy it in this world. And what is in Akhirah is far better for us and what they have in this world. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us another very important instruction. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ Allah says, instruct, command, encourage your family to observe the salah. You must keep on instructing them and encouraging them and commanding them to observe their salah. Salah time should not pass until every family member has observed the salah of that time. وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا And you yourself adhere to it as well. So command and instruct your family, and you also should be persistent and should adhere of it. Another incident of Umar ibn al-Khattab, whenever he would wake up at the time of tahajjud, he would wake up his wife and he would wake up others. After the revelation of this ayah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Fajr, he would go outside the door of Fatima and his daughter, his Fatima radiallahu ta'ala and Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he would stand outside the door which was almost next door to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would shout out, As-salah, as-salah, it's time for salah, it is time for salah. So this helps you adhere to your salah by you ensuring, because now you are creating environment. If you are the only one and you are not encouraging others to do it, it becomes difficult for you to observe the salah. But for you yourself to adhere to salah, if you are encouraging everyone else and you are leading the way when it comes to praying the salah, hence it makes it easier for you to observe that salah. Allah says, وَلَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا We are not asking you to provide for your family. We are not asking you, meaning you are not the source. You are not the source. So don't consider yourself to be the source. You are not the source of the provision that your family enjoys. Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you certain means, and of course there are certain tasks that you must employ in order for you to be able to bring food and put food onto the table and a shelter over their head and clothing onto their bodies. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are not asking you to develop within yourself the power of providing for yourself and for your families. And what's important to note here is Allah speaks of salah, and along with salah, Allah speaks of rizq. And that's why the ulama say that person who will be punctual in the salah, praying the salah all the time, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed them to do, then it makes it easier for them to earn their rizq and their sustenance. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ Allah says, we are the ones who provide for you. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْتَقْوَى Allah says, the end result belongs to taqwa, belongs to piety. وَقَالُوا The disbelievers, what did they say? لَوْلَا يَأْتِينَا بِآيَةٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ Why does he not bring us some sign, some miracle from his Rabb? أَوَلَمْ تَأْتِهِمْ بَيِّنَةُ مَا فِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the clear evidence not already come to them in the previous divine scriptures. The previous divine scriptures, every one of those scriptures, whether it was the Old Testament or the New Testament, the Torah, the Injil, every one of those testaments made mention of the bayyinah, the evidence and the proof, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did that all not come to them already previously? وَلَوْ أَنَّا أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِهِ لَقَالُ رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we had decided to destroy them with some punishment before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they would have said on the day of Qiyamah, لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا Why did you not send a Rasul to us? Why did you not send a Rasul to us? The question that some Muslims and believers might ask is that, why did Allah not destroy them, those who were meant to be destroyed, and those who were going to insult and abuse and hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were never going to embrace his message? Why did Allah not destroy them before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to them, so that he could not suffer the abuse that he suffered? So the answer to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that if we did not send to them, if we had destroyed them before a messenger was sent to them, then they would have argued on the day of Qiyamah that no messenger was sent to us, no reminder was sent to us. They would have said, لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا Why did you not send to us a Rasul? فَنَتَّبِعَ آيَاتِكْ We would have followed your verses, and we would have followed your sign if you had sent someone to us. So they would say, فَنَتَّبِعَ آيَاتِكْ We would have followed your verses, and we would have followed your command. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَذِلَّ وَنَخْزَى Before we were humiliated, and before we were disgraced. قُلْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, كُلُّ مُتَرَبِّسٌ Everyone is waiting. Everyone is waiting. Waiting for what? Qiyamah. Everyone is waiting for the final hour. فَتَرَبَّصُوا All of you also wait. All of you also wait. You keep on taunting and insulting. When is Qiyamah? When will it come? Allah, tell them we are all waiting for it. We are all waiting for it. So you too, hang on and wait for it. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ أَصْحَابُ الصِّرَاطِ الصَّوِيِّ وَمَنْ اهْتَدَى. You will come to know. You will certainly come to know on that day who is the people and the companions of the straight path and who are those that are rightly guided. We come to the end of the 16 juz of the Quran.